Alrighty, we are back. Week two of the Major League Baseball season is in the books. Let's talk about it. Hello and welcome to this edition of Side Retired. It is Monday, April 8th, and you've got the whole crew, Dylan, Nico, and Henry, as always. We're back discussing all things Major League Baseball. We're going to talk a lot about the different series that are happening. Of course, it is again time for some overreactions and whether they're fair or not. And as always, we will conclude with all of our MVPs and our HKs of the week. But before we get into things, Nico, what's up, brother?
Can't complain, bro. You know, guys went through a lot this weekend, but you know, pressure makes diamonds. And I love pressure, so we're doing good.
Absolutely. So the first thing we're going to talk about is not series related, but instead it's a little bit of a, I don't know, interesting trend that's happening in Major League Baseball, and that is the Tommy John epidemic. And this week we saw three more players become victim to it. I know a couple of the guys that are not getting Tommy John, but they are getting reconstructive surgery on their UCL, and that was Shane Bieber announced he's getting Tommy John. Jonathan Loaisiga is getting the internal brace, and then Spencer Strider, I don't think, at least at the time we're recording, they've announced Tommy John versus brace versus nothing, but the UCL is barking, he's going to the surgeon, I believe, today when you're listening to this, and that is as well at the same time as the whole Gerrit Cole injury. We've also seen other guys get Tommy John earlier this year. Jacob deGrom is out. Sandy Alcantara is out. The list is endless. So, Henry, you get to open the topic. Tommy John in Major League Baseball is caused by what, and what's your reaction?
It's not caused by the pitch clock. It's caused by the fact that the human body is literally not supposed to throw as hard as these guys can throw, at least not for an extended amount of time. It's been proven time and time again that with increased velocity, the increased average velocity coming out of the arm across the league, that Tommy John and UCL injuries have gone up. It's really like, it's not that hard to understand. I don't know why the MLBPA made such a big fuss over the pitch clock, because no, it's the fact that these guys throw harder than anybody has ever thrown before, and they do it at an increased pace, like meaning they do it for a ton of pitches at a time. And so, yeah, they're bound to get hurt. The real question is, will doctors be able to figure out a different way to repair the UCL that gets you back on the field faster? I think that's the next step, not because I don't know that there will be a way to prevent this.
And I think we're starting to see it with the internal brace, whether that's the Bryce Harper surgery that had him back within 8 months. Shohei Ohtani is currently DHing while still recovering from Tommy John. But again, difference between a hitter versus a pitcher. I think it's important to notice the pitch clock is one of the things that we'll obviously discuss during this. I think one of the other factors that I immediately was gravitating towards is the sticky stuff ban. Not a lot of pitchers claim that they had a better grip on the ball and everything like that when they were able to use sticky stuff.
They were
not recurring. Well, not even recurring to pine tar or anything like that, but they just said that now that MLB is really cracking down, MLB doesn't, or players don't even want to risk the legal sunscreen and rosin. Thanks, Max Scherzer. But that could in theory relate to Tommy John, because now pitchers feel the need that they need to generate their elbow in a way that's going to keep their spin rate at a place that it was back when they were able to add an extra 200 RPM like it was nothing. But Nico, your thoughts on the topic?
I mean, the first thing that came to my mind is, because like Henry said, a lot of it has to do with just the increased velo that we have. Guys that 20 years ago were sitting 92. I believe our average fastball velo has gone up 2 miles in the last 20 years. I think that obviously has something to do with it. To me, it's more the, not the response by like the league or the response by like the Players Association. It's more like, how's the game going to change, and slash, is it going to change? Like, are we going to see more guys who start maybe not like pacing themselves and trying to like, again, like promote health and longevity, like we saw with like Greg Maddux and guys earlier that threw just a ton of innings? I know that sinkers are getting a lot more love, but again, it's more the power sinker. Like, I want to see, like, obviously it's a problem, meaning just for the fans, like we want to see, I think every single baseball fan has seen the post of the list of the amount of players that right now have an elbow injury, and I believe it's like I saw about a third of the league has had an elbow injury in their career, past, present, or future. So it sucks, and I want to see like how baseball responds, just the game as a whole, to this being a problem. Is it just going to be like, hey, maybe the medical field will like increase and just get better and progress? Or is it going to be where like guys have to adjust? Because at the end of the day, people want to be available. And like, it really sucks that like careers for the fans and for the players themselves, like it sucks that a big thing that we have to look at now is arm health. And it sucks that every single guy, it seems like it's a ticking time bomb. I was like, when's it going to go? Because that's never something you want to see.
I think the interesting thing that you're starting to see is that it's almost like, is a weird way to put it, Tommy John is a rite of passage as a pitcher, in that everyone gets it. And once you get it, it's like, all right, now I'm good to go. And obviously there are some people, it seems like Spencer Strider might be one, that get two in their career. Jacob deGrom is one of those. I'm sure there's a couple other examples as well. Nathan Eovaldi is one. But it seems like there's pitchers that are at a younger age, and especially at the college level, that don't tear their UCL, but there's something wrong with their UCL, and they will get Tommy John surgery to basically start fresh with a new arm. Yeah. And it's weird because you are sacrificing a year and a half to 2 years of your college baseball career. But if you're a great pitcher and you're thinking, hey, I might get drafted, get your Tommy John surgery now, and then you're, in theory, good to go for the next 10 to 15 years after that with a brand new UCL. Which is a weird way to think about it, but I think that's where, as much as when we all saw the news, me included, that Shane Bieber was out for the year, you just thought, oh, this stinks. Free agent coming up. The Guardians actually look really good. But at the end of the day, it doesn't, like, this is going to sound, I don't know how to phrase this. It didn't seem like a catastrophic injury in a sense that we're like, oh, another Tommy John guy. Versus when you see in the NFL, like Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles, you're like, shoot, an Achilles injury stinks. Or when you see someone tear their ACL, you're like, wow, Rhys Hoskins tore his ACL, he's out for the year. Versus it just seems like guys getting Tommy John are just, there goes another one added to the statistics, which I don't know how that affects slash what that means, but it just feels like we're being desensitized, correct word, for the Tommy John situation.
Yeah, I remember, and this is really when it stuck out to me, what you were saying, like the desensitized of it. We were looking at the draft, I remember, in June, and like one of the guys, he had Tommy John. And I remember they were talking about his draft stock. And I remember one of the guys, like, I'm going to be honest, like front offices, like they're seeing the Tommy John. The bigger thing they're scared about now is the rotator cuff. And like the fact that like, it's almost like the elbow injuries kind of like almost got in second place when like, I remember like 5 years ago, when Chris Sale first got to the Red Sox, I was worried, like, when's he going to have arm problems? When's his, like stuff? But and now it's, like, it's going to happen to every pitcher. Like, when as long as it's not, like, the fact that it's, again, like you're saying, like, it's, like, it happens. Like, we see it almost as, like, just, like, a leave of absence at this point. Like, it's not even, like, it's still a big deal, but it's, like, okay, we know they're going to come back. It's going to be 2 years. It's going to be a year. And we'll get back to what this guy's career is 12 to 18 months from now. And again, I don't know if there's a solution because, again, you want just, again, throwing hard is always going to play. Like, velo's always going to play. So it's almost like you can't ask a guy who's trying to make millions of dollars and compete at the highest level to start throwing slower. Because at the end of the day, like, you're asking peak performance athletes to be not peak performance. Think is any ever gonna, so hopefully like there's something that's able to be done from like a medical standpoint that we can get this along. But again, like you said, it just sucks that like we're seeing it now, and it's just like it's a regular, it seems like just commonplace today.
I think that's also the thing when Jacob deGrom first came back in his first start and he was pumping 101 with the Mets when he's back from injury, everyone's like, wow, it's his first start, stop throwing 101, ease it back. When you're competitive on a baseball mound facing a big league hitter with 40,000 people around you with adrenaline, you're not going to think, let's baby this. And I know a lot of pitchers, especially when you're on the Tommy John recovery, it's like, all right, today's a throw at 75%. Today's a throw at 80%. Today's a throw at 50%. if you're on a mound and you're being told throw it 80%, you're going to throw, maybe you don't throw 100%, you're still going 90%, you're still going 95%. On your quote unquote off day or cleanup bullpen where you're just getting a feel for the mound, you're ramping it. Those last couple of pitches you were throwing at game like intent. Like there's no, with the cycle of pitchers, whether it's college or it's even at this point, as crazy as 13, 14 year old, throwing every day, getting on massive weightlifting programs, doing long toss every day, which I do think long toss is good for your arm and that helps you get stronger, but doing it every single day and guys throwing breaking balls at 12 years old. And as you're mentioning, the constant need
oh
for
my
you to
God.
Go to a, when you, what?
Throwing breaking balls at 12 years old is not the problem. Throwing breaking balls from the outfield at 12 years, or at any age, is more of a problem. But a 12-year-old throwing a curveball is not going to kill your arm.
I disagree with that.
Curveballs, no. I'd say sliders, yes.
I think if you're throwing breaking balls at 12 years old, which is a lot earlier than the human body's used to doing it, I think that leads
to... The human body's never used to doing that.
Well, I think if they're starting at 13, 14, that's why we're seeing a lot of guys getting it now in high school and college.
But it's also
but
like
13, 14 is high school. Like,
no, it's not. But I think it's
yes, it is. I literally started high school when I was 13 years old.
That's wild. But
did you graduate when you were 16?
What?
13, 14, 15.
You get to
16.
Your freshman year of 14, Henry.
I turned 14 the very beginning of my freshman year.
That's wild. I think it's more like, again, it's like if you asked, it's like any elite, if you ask the world's strongest man, like the freaking guy, the Thor guy that was on like Game of Thrones or whatever, hey, deadlift your max 100 times. Any person looks at that and they're like, yeah, that guy's going to just destroy his back, destroy his quads, and destroy his hamstrings. That's exactly what we're asking guys to do right now. It's, hey, Jacob deGrom, you're going to throw 100 pitches. All of them are going to be at max intensity. Mm-hmm. And 50% of those, it's you're going to let it eat at 101. That's basically what we're asking guys to do. And obviously, again, you look at it in any other context of like powerlifting or any other sport, you're like, yeah, that guy's going to get hurt. But because it's a 6 ounce baseball, like we don't really process it. It's guys going at 100%, maxing out every single time and taking 30 seconds to breathe and then doing it again.
Yeah. No, it's, and I think the weird thing is that it's not going to stop because I think, as Henry said, maybe the future is that we develop this internal brace or something like that that's going to speed up the process. But I know Chris Bassett mentioned that, oh, finesse pitchers don't have it happen to them. And yes, it's true. But, and Chris Bassett's the rare exception that he throws 90-ish and has six different pitches and he gets out some big contracts. But look at the top pitchers in baseball, and they are all. They're all Fireballer, Strider, Alcantara, DeGrom, Verlander, Cole. So all those different things, they all throw extremely hard. And, you know, I love Chris Bassett, but I don't see a world where we revert back to the aces of the world being 90 miles an hour with junk balls. I will say, there's an interesting stat, and I really wish I remembered who had it on Twitter. So shout out if this is you. There's only one pitcher right now that has won a Cy Young Award and is on an active roster and made a start this year. Everyone else has had arm issues or is non-baseball anymore. That's just crazy. It's Corbin Burns. I know Nico looks curious as to who's the answer. That's crazy to think that every other Cy Young Award winner that's active is on the IL, or the other weird exception is Blake Snell, because he's technically hasn't made a start yet for the Giants this year, but he should at some point this week. But Gerrit Cole, injured. Verlander, injured. Robbie Ray, injured. Shane Bieber, injured. Kluber, retired. Porcello, retired. Dallas Keuchel, Miners with the Mariners, I think. Max Scherzer, injured. David Price, retired. King Felix, retired. Zach Greinke, free agent. That takes us to 2009 in the AL. NL, Snell hasn't played. Alcantara, Tommy John. Trevor Bauer, not hurt. Jacob deGrom, injured. Max Scherzer, injured. Arrieta, retired. Clayton Kershaw, injured. R.A. Dickey,
retired.
Hired. Clayton Kershaw again.
Injured. Oh my God.
Clayton Kershaw again.
We're at the point injured. Where they're all retired.
And except then, for Kershaw. And then Roy Halladay. But so everyone yeah. else has, it's only Corbin Burns is the only healthy Tommy John pitcher. That's just weird to think. Like, even last year, injured and not pitching. Like, Corbin Burns is the only one that is in Major League Baseball that has won a Cy Young that could, in theory, start a baseball game tomorrow. Two if you count Bauer. But one person is capable of starting a Major League Baseball game that has won a Cy Young. That's a problem. We want to see the best of the best play, and for some reason, they can't.
Yeah, and the thing is, and especially when we're just talking about like more like the big picture, when we're talking about like growing the sport, it's very hard to imagine like if basketball, if like we're trying to grow the sport and Jokic, Tatum, LeBron, Steph just were all injured. Like it's very difficult to grow a sport when half of your top players are on the sideline.
Yeah.
Like no, there's no, again, like, yes, like, is it great to see like hitters hit? Yes. But at the end of the day, you're seeing these guys four times a game. You're logging on to see Freddie Freeman or Mike Trout. You're seeing them four times a game. If it's a high scoring game, you're seeing them five. Like the pitchers especially are what's going to grow the sport. Cause that's what we're seeing for 50% of the game, 50% of the game. We're seeing Kershaw on the mound. And when you have guys like that on the sideline, people aren't, it's a lot more difficult to get guys to see a hitter's duel than it is a pitcher's duel because you're just seeing the hitters less.
Well, there is one pitcher that is dominating, and he can lead off our discussion post-Tommy John to talk about Major League Baseball in 2024, and that is Ronel Blanco, who not only threw a no-hitter this week, shout out. I believe that was this week, right? That was probably Monday or Tuesday.
Yep.
He also then proceeded to go 5 2/3 innings tonight and not allow a hit. He did eventually give up a hit, still won the game, but shout out to Ronel Blanco and the Astros, who after the last time we talked had not gotten their first win. They're still struggling. They're at 3-7, but they are trending back in the right direction. What are our thoughts on Ronel Blanco? And as a result, we can get to talking about the AL West. We're going in reversed order on the divisions this week. Rangers 6-3, Angels 5-4, Mariners 4-6, Astros 3-7, and Oakland 3-7.
I mean, it's just like, I don't expect the Astros to stay at the bottom, right? Like, I think things will still shake out as we expect them to. Mariners look horrible. That's one thing that I'm kind of nervous about. I predicted them to do very well this season. They have not looked good. But besides that, I mean, let's be honest. The Astros haven't had the easiest schedule to start, right? Like, give them a couple cookie series and they're well above 500. And, like, they've proven that they're a good team. It's just I think you could have a lot of reasons, but Ronel Blanco had obviously threw a no-hitter. That's incredible. And then, honestly, this next start, coming out and almost doing it again, like, getting, like, a little, like, oh, this might actually happen again type of motion into the middle of the game. Like, that's very impressive, but I'm not concerned about the Astros. I'm definitely more concerned about the Mariners because they haven't proven that they can do it year in and year out.
Yeah, I think that maybe if you want to say some cause for concern is the fact that their pitching is kind of what we were like maybe talking about being a problem going into the season. And that's kind of been what's holding them back. I just looked, they're about like top 10 in every single offensive category and about 20th in every pitching category. Again, it's like what we're talking about. The big thing was going to be their pitching. Valdez has been good. Javier has been good. Blanco's been good, but Hunter Brown, 6 ERA, JP France, 4-7. And then we look at their bullpen, it's just been terrible. Brian Abreu, who we thought was going to be locked down, 10 ERA. Ryan Pressly, who we literally praised for being the pillar of consistency, has a 20 ERA. That's obviously going to go down. A Hader has a 7 ERA. Like, that's not going to be a recipe for success. Obviously, that's all going to regress to the mean. But again, like Henry said, they're still the Astros. They're still going to be good. But a little bit of concern just that the problem is what we thought going into the year has been the reason they're not winning because they're doing well offensively. And just what's lacking right now is their pitching. So again, if Blanco could be a solid number three, then I think they'll be fine with a trio of Valdez, Javier, and Blanco. If he can kind of, like, obviously he's not going to keep this up, but if he can stay at like a 3-5, even a 4 as a number three, I feel like in today's game, like, they're going to be fine. But just a little bit of concern, just because what we're going into seeing as their weakness has kind of been what's been going on. But again, they're getting Verlander back in a couple months, so they should be all right.
Shorter than that, Verlander made his first rehab outing tonight. I believe he went 30 to 50 pitches, so he should be back within the next 2 weeks or so. But the other story out of the AL West, congrats Sacramento. You've got a baseball team for 3 years. The A's announced they are moving to Sacramento for the 2025 through 2027 seasons, with an option for 2028 if their Vegas stadium is not completed by then. It's official. They're leaving Vegas. They're leaving Oakland. Whether Vegas happens, it seems like it is at this point, but again, there's still some mystery around it. But this was the step in the direction of that, and that the A's have said no to renewing in the Coliseum, and they have finalized and agreed to a contract to play in Sacramento in 2025 to 2027. More about that later. But the AL Central, the Guardians are rolling 4 straight. The Tigers still are in second at 6-3. Here come the Royals, winning 4 in a row with a weekend 4-game sweep. White Sox are now 1-8, and the Twins are also scuffling at 3-4. Thoughts on the division?
Again, Guardians, it seems like they're on a roll, but at the same time, it seems like they just hit a brick wall with Bieber going down. So again, something you hate to see. Again, their recipe, it's how much can this young pitching that they have, like Bibby, Logan Allen, Gavin Williams is going to be coming back. Can that hold now that Bieber's not there? Especially because, again, you look at that lineup. Is it great that they're hitting now? Yes. Is it something that you're going to want to bank on? Is it something that this team is kind of like known for? No. You got to think that that's going to go back to like being at best a league average offense. It's, again, the big talk is that they were seen as, like, again, like kind of the worst Mariners, where they have all this young pitching that was led by Bieber, and the thought was, okay, Bieber's gonna be your one, and that's just gonna be able to allow these young pitchers that you have the freedom to go and just kind of develop and work and be a very solid rotation. You don't have that now. You have Bieber's out for the year, Gavin Williams still has about a month or so to get back. You really have right now Logan Allen, Carlos Carrasco, and Tanner Bibby is like, hey, make it work. And look, thankfully, they're in a weaker division that's rolling now. But again, a lot of pressure is going to start getting put on guys who are just going to be thrown in a situation now, because again, they're young. They're not having the time to develop now. You have the time to develop when pressure's off. For the next 6 months of the year, pressure's all on these guys because you don't have that number one anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's a real shame. I like Tanner Bibby. I do. I just don't know how well this team is going to hold up without, like, a real rock, if that makes any sense.
I will say, though, the most runs scored in the entire American League, Cleveland Guardians. I don't think anyone saw that out of their offense, and they're producing really well. Likewise, though, the fewest runs allowed, also by the Cleveland Guardians. So, seems like they're doing a winning formula right now. And obviously, shout out to the Royals for getting right and taking care of business against the Chicago White Sox this weekend for 4 straight. But seems like the Guardians are moving in the right direction here. But the AL Powerhouse East is right now a battle of the two historic franchises of the Yankees and the Red Sox. The Yankees taking care of business with 2 in a row. And then the Orioles lost 2 in a row. The Rays won 2 in a row, and the Blue Jays are scuffling early. I know they're 4-6, but the whole Vladdy thing was not a good look either. But thoughts on the AL East? I'll let you guys battle.
Henry, lead it off, and I'll talk about why the Red Sox are going to upset you guys.
I mean, like, I think that the Yankees have sort of shown. The thing that I've been saying is, like, I get more impressed when this team shows fight than when they, like, dog out a team. Like, I much prefer coming back in a big-time series, right? Like, against the Blue Jays, I hate the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays are legitimately my least favorite fan base in the league. I hate them more than Red Sox fans. I even hate them more than Astros fans, even though I don't hate the Astros as a team more. I hate Blue Jays fans so much. So this means something to me. And losing the first game in really bad fashion, like really bad, getting shut out, wasted another really solid Stroman start, and then coming back and winning the next two, Giancarlo with a huge grand slam in this game. I am more impressed with this team because it doesn't feel like they just roll over and say die right now. And I think that the Yankees, even last year, right? The Yankees can, barring a couple bad games last year, like when they got big leads, they could usually hold on to big leads. They got up to a big lead in the series with the Blue Jays. It got tight, but they held on to it. I'm more impressed, and I think that the Yankees will be more successful if they can come back from down a couple of runs, which is not something that we saw last year.
Yeah, I think, like, again, in transitioning to the other team, the Red Sox, like, a lot less faith. Like, I love this team. I think that we're definitely going to be better than people thought. But a couple things that scared me is I feel like, again, it's very fitting that I feel like I've said multiple times on this podcast that, like, hey, defense doesn't matter. Like, when you're valuing a player that much, if you can rake, like, always take the guy who rakes. And the thing that seems like it's going to get us is going to be our defense. I mean, the two games that we lost, that one of them we won and the other one we lost, all the games changed got because of defense. We were up 1-0, and then Devers, you know, just decided to just miss a ground ball that allowed two runs in. And then the game that we won, the only reason it was close is because we went error, error, hit by pitch, grand slam, which is not a recipe for success. Like, again, I love Rafaela, but what are we doing? Just like literally drop. I've never seen someone drop a fly ball like that, where it's like, he like lollygagged it and was like, yep, out. Oh, no. And the thing is, like, he like on the transfer was not on the transfer. It wasn't even close. That's what scares me. Again, I don't know. Like, I love Andrew Bailey. What he seems to be doing seems to be working. I don't know how much throwing majority breaking balls is going to last. I think since it's different, it's working now. But I don't know how much that's going to last. Again, I don't know that much about pitching from a pitching coach perspective. Maybe that's going to work. But it's gotten success for the early parts of the year. And it's helped because some of the guys in our offense haven't been getting going. Like Devers has like a 703 OPS. Casas, like a 690 OPS. Had a couple bombs this weekend, which helped him out. But it's a bit terrifying that the rest of it, it almost seems like... Like, what's the word? Like, not like hanky janky, like a novelty. Like, it's almost like, hey, like, this is going to work. It's almost like, it seems to me like a knuckleballer. Like, hey, the reason it's working is because it's so different that everyone's kind of reliant on the fastball. So we're just going to go for and just throw a lot of breaking balls. And it's like, yeah, that's going to be fine.
It'll work until it doesn't.
But once, yeah. Exactly. Once people start being like, okay, we're going to sit on the off speed, like, A, are we going to get tagged? And B, if we do, how are we going to adjust is going to be a big thing of this rotation. But again, I can't complain that much for being 7-3 right now. Tyler O'Neill seems to be like the new Adam Duvall, where she's like, hey, we're going to make an amazing free agent signing. And because we have such a good offensive lab, he's just going to rake, has a 1300 OPS and seems to go yard every at bat. So that's phenomenal. Jaren Duran seems to get a knock every single at bat. And then everyone was like, all the Red Sox fans were like, it's not really that good. He's only hitting singles and then hits a go-ahead bomb. So that was great to see. But again, I have a lot of optimism because I have faith in the guys that aren't hitting right now. Again, Trevor Story, thank the Lord. Right when he was getting going, he got hurt, but it's only a dislocated shoulder. So he's going to be on the 10-day IL and it looked a lot worse in game. So I have a little bit of optimism because it seems like what Andrew Bailey's doing is working. I want to see how, when it stops working, how he adjusts, but we'll see what happens. Right now we're 7-3. Can't complain.
NL West, I'm going to skip over it for the pure purpose of A, time, and B, it's going exactly as we thought. Dodgers on top, yep. Already a 3-game lead. Padres and D-backs are tied 3 games out of the D-backs have lost 4 in a row. Something to keep your eye on. Giants are below them. And then you've got the Colorado Rockies at 2-8. Thoughts? Are we good there? I think it's pretty good.
No, I mean, it's just like nothing new.
NL Central. Yeah.
I mean, they're all under 500 besides Dodgers. That may be a little bit.
That is
probably not going to last, but just something.
But they're also going against each other a lot.
NL Central. Are the Pirates good? Is it time to realize that the Pirates might actually be a scrappy team that wins this division?
Remember when we said that last year? It was the same thing last year.
True.
They started off very hot. I think that they've got a really nice young core. A really nice young core. A lot of players that will have very good seasons. But their pitching is just really not sustainable. I love Bailey Falter. I really do. But having Bailey Falter and Marco Gonzalez in your rotation is just not going to work. I think that they will be a lot better than people may have given them credit for. But, I mean, and I'll eat crow if it happens. But I can't see them as sustainable across 162 division contenders, even in a weak division like the NL Central.
Yeah, especially when you have a team like the Brewers and the Cubs that you know are going to be there the whole year. It seems like all the fears we had of the Brewers, like, it seems like they're just one of those teams that they're going to put a squad together that's going to be atop the NL Central for like the last decade, no matter who they have on the field. Especially with those teams, just again, this really screams to me that they're a year away for the Pirates, because you have teams that just have like dignified leaders like Yelich with the Brewers, and then Bellinger and Swanson with the Cubs. Imanaga looks great with the Cubs. He's looking amazing. He looks like just one of the most underrated signings that I've seen in a while. He's looking phenomenal. It seems like it's going to be a dogfight in the NL Central, which doesn't bode well for a young team like the Pirates, because what we've kind of tend to see is like when there's dogfights, usually the team that kind of goes by the wayside, barring like the Orioles of last year, seems to be the younger team, and like the more experienced teams who know how to get through a 162 are the teams that kind of rise to the top. But again, they may fall off, they may miss the playoffs, but I wouldn't be surprised if this team is one of those teams that's over 500 and misses the playoffs. I think that we can definitely see that while they may not still win the division, while that, even though they're first right now, that may be still a little bit too far to say. I would not be surprised at all if they're above 500 this year and we're like, dang, they missed the playoffs. But Jared Jones has looked great in his last two starts. O'Neill Cruz looks like he's going to be a great shortstop. Like, if that's what we're talking about at the end of the season, with Henry Davis hitting well and Brian Reynolds after his extension being the leader of that team, like, they're going to be in a really good spot. So again, great that they're hot now. I think that they can keep it going. I don't know if they're going to be able to stay in first, but just hold on to this while you can.
I think what made it stand out to me is that this was against the Orioles. They took 2 out of 3 against the team that we had, I think, third or fourth in the power rankings. So not that then, yes, they did beat up on the Nationals, I believe, early on in the season. But Baltimore, pretty solid opponent. They handled their business and won 2 out of 3 against them. So look forward to seeing what happens the rest of the season. And then we come to the NL East, where it is shaping up exactly as we thought it would, with the Braves on top, the Phillies in second. The Mets did win a series this weekend, but the Mets are still in third place and probably will stay there for a while. I think the one thing you could be intrigued by in this division is that the Nats are in fourth, and the Marlins cannot get out of their own way. They are still – they won a game. I know you were just clapping for the Mets winning a series. The Marlins finally won a game. They're 1-9 after starting the year 0-9, but they look like a mess, and – I think one of the interesting storylines will be how much do they tear it down at the deadline this year, but that is that's not Kim Ng's problem, because she got let go of after a successful season. And
yeah, but they're really patting themselves on the back.
Well, I will say the move
of the offseason is like, hey, we had this lady who got us to the playoffs.
Well,
we shouldn't have, and we're just going to be like, hey, bye.
I think the biggest story out of this division, besides from Strider and some on the field stuff, according to Bob Nightingale, friend of the podcast, the Marlins have already turned down Skip Schumacher's option for the 2025 season. They let him know this week that he will be allowed to seek other opportunities and will be afraid after this season. So
why would you just feel like motivated they did with
Kim Ng, where she was let go of after a successful season? The Marlins have already made the decision 10 games in that Kim Schumacher, you're able to go on your own when you want to.
It's got
to
be tampering.
They avoided it. It's not like he's for sure gone, but yeah, he's, it seems like he's gone, which I think is just ridiculous. Like, again, this roster, like, as much as they made the playoffs last year, I don't think anyone was like, hey, this team's going to fight for the NL East this year. Like, I really don't see on what this team where you're like, yeah, this has really been a coaching problem. We just need to get rid of Skip Schumacher, and this team would definitely be out of the hole we're in. The team's just not playing well. Like, it's not good. Yeah. Berger's been pretty nice, I guess.
Bell's been okay.
Hit a bomb against the Cardinals. Chisholm has had like two bombs, and that's about it. I mean, again, I don't really know what's on Skip Schumacher. I mean, it's not like they're losing these games, and it's been like, oh, nail biter, need a good decision here, and he hasn't made it. It's been like just from the jump, they just haven't been playing good baseball, and they've been out of the game from like the second inning on. So again, very questionable move, especially how it's very nice to have one of those like young guys, especially when he coached you guys to the playoffs the year before. Don't really get this move, don't really get the understanding of it, but especially when it's like, even if you're deciding to tear down, like Schumacher seems like the guy to tear down and be like, hey, you're a new coach, we're going to sign you, we're going to keep you here, and you're going to
like kind Brandon of, Hyde.
Yeah. I mean, and even more than Brandon Hyde, I mean, he's shown success. I mean, they made the playoffs last. Like Brandon Hyde, I understand. I was probably even one of the people who was like, yeah, Brandon Hyde's not the guy, even though, again, shame on me. It was more that it was just a bad team. But Schumacher, even more, they made the playoffs last year. Like, it's not like they were like last and that, hey, it's like not working, we want to build a new thing. Like, this seems like the perfect guy. It's like, hey, he's shown that he's made the playoffs. This seems like the perfect coach to build off of. And again, I think we're seeing the bad front office moves, even like from upstairs, even upstairs from the front office of, again, like we said, Kim Ng, like just terrible move after terrible move, just question.
Negligence.
Hate to see.
And that is also, we forgot to mention, Yuri Perez, another guy, Tommy John surgery this week, adding on to the epidemic at the beginning of the episode. But for some fun time, it is time to end our episode by talking. No, it's not that the end of our episode is fun, but the last segment of our episode is fun. And we've got the MVP of the week. Again, it's either tired. It could be a player. It could be a thing. It could be anything you want it to be. But your MVP of the week and then your HK of the week. So do we want to go MVPs first and then we go HKs, or do you want to give both of them? Let's do MVPs. Nico, if you want to lead us off with your MVP of the week, and I can also give it if you guys are still thinking.
I got my MVP of the week. It's going to be a homer pick, but he absolutely deserves it. I talked to him a little bit like earlier. Tyler O'Neill is just on a tear against the Angels. I mean, he had two or three bombs. It seems like everything that was said, again, you often get into this thing where it's like, oh, will he be? And then the guy never is. It seemed like he just needed a nice little change of pace, and I'm very happy that the change of pace was with the Red Sox. Guy's gone in first 10 games. Again, like I said, he has a 1300 OPS. The guy's a freak of nature athletically. The guy should be in a bodybuilding competition instead of being in the MLB because of how jacked he is. And it seems like the big thing is he's hammering everything. Like the guy's gone. He's had home runs off of off speed. He's had home runs off of elevated fastballs. Right now, he's seeing the ball like a watermelon, and I feel like he gets his flowers right now.
Henry.
Yeah, my MVP is not – it's not a player. It's not even a team. It's lastdivebar.com. They are an Oakland A's – not protest site, but they sell Oakland A's apparel and just basically saying we want to stay at the Coliseum. Brent Rooker and Estuary Ruiz both had the I stand with Oakland wristbands on, and Estuary Ruiz gets sent down and Brent Rooker gets benched. Fuck the A's.
There's our one. I would have gone with George Capen. Shout out Georgetown University Baseball for doing something that's never been done in the history of baseball.
No college baseball. No college baseball.
No college baseball.
No college baseball talk.
So I know.
No college baseball talk.
So I'm going to go with Steven Strasburg, where if people didn't see, Strasburg announced his retirement today. Definitely worked out some deal with the Nationals. That way he still gets the $100 million owed on his deal. But he's officially retiring. It's the end of the saga. Strasburg is the definition of how much would you sell to the devil in order to win a World Series? And likewise, for a franchise, how many years can you suck after winning a World Series and still be happy? And Steven Strasburg pitched his heart out, to quote David Halpert, and won a World Series in 2019. And after the season, the Nationals had to make the decision, Rendon or Strasburg. And despite Steven Strasburg only pitching in 50-ish, I think it's 53 innings over the length of a 7-year contract, I still think they probably made the right choice in Strasburg over Rendon. And Strasburg will get to be one of those guys that wore one uniform for his entire career. Is he a Hall of Famer? No. Was there massive expectations? Yes, when he made his rookie debut, when he was drafted, I believe, first overall, winning a World Series, people thought, all right, that's just the beginning of the Strasburg run. And turned out that was the very end of it. And we can obviously go through the merits of his Steven Strasburg, Mount Rushmore, Washington National, and did he live up to the expectations? But I think that's a separate podcast that when we need a filler episode, we can do that. But just given Steven Strasburg his flowers, as Nico pointed out with Tyler O'Neill, on a great MLB career, did he live up to all the hype? We'll see. But again, one of those names that you probably can't tell the history of the Washington Nationals franchise without Steven Strasburg, arguably the greatest pitcher in their franchise history. So shout out to Stras, and while it might be too soon now, I can guarantee in a year or so there will be a Steven Strasburg day. They retire his number and all that fun stuff. But HK of the week goes out to the person, place, the thing, the object, topic that we found to be the worst. And you can try to figure out what HK means. If you're a dedicated listener to the podcast, you know what it means. But are we going to do, because James Taussig didn't log on, but I did text him. He sent me a couple nominees. So if we want to go with the James Taussig nominees, and then we vote on which one we think is the best one, and then obviously if you guys have one to throw in, we can.
I have one nominee.
Okay.
I have one to throw in, but I'm down to hear James's.
And I know we're not allowed to talk about college baseball, but I'm not going to be talking about any players. My HK players of the week would be the four umps who took 40 minutes in the middle of an SEC baseball game to throw out 11 players after a play at the plate. That's just unacceptable, and it's terrible for the game.
Okay. Well, the three major league ones that we've got, I could say Seton Hall offense too, but
that's insane.
But we could go with the Oakland A's, whether it's the whole this week, they had not only just the moving to Sacramento, but they also had the whole, Esteri Ruiz situation. We could go with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who Marcus Stroman struck out and then did a little, I don't know, he did like a celebration. I think it was the...
He shushed the crowd.
Well, no, Stroman did something, and then Guerrero then hit a home run off a random Yankees reliever. And not only did he shush, but he did the move back. I think it was the Euro step.
No, he went like this. He went, the big thing was that he shushed the crowd. He went down six.
Uh-huh. But there was a couple instances with Guerrero, so it could be him. Or the one I like best.
He's a clutch. I hate him.
Angel Hernandez.
It's got to be. It's
multiple strikes down the middle of the plate today. To the point that I believe, unless I maybe got Twitter
that, trolled, that I just wanna, that wasn't the worst one. That wasn't the worst one.
Well, I just
the strikes down the middle were bad.
There was
they were bad, but that wasn't the worst. It was the stepping off.
True, that one was bad as well.
Stepping I'll get off that in a second, and the then pitcher, throwing a ball.
Yeah, a pitcher stepped off the mound and threw a ball, and he called it a strike. To the point that John Heyman also tweeted out, and this is a real @John Heyman. This should be Angel Hernandez's last game. Enough already. Okay, John. Nico, you got one?
Dominic Fletcher and the umpires of that game too, because it was obviously, even though I love that MJ hit a home run, it was obviously a ground rule double, and Dominic Fletcher basically hit it with his glove for a home run, and that was the go-ahead home run for the Royals in the seventh inning for them getting up 1-0. And they went on to win the game. So I feel like that deserves a little bit of love for the HK Player of the Week.
Well, there are nominees. Of course, you can submit who you would put on your MVP and your HK of the Week to @SideRetiredPod on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, thank you, Potter, as well as on our email address, SideRetiredPod@gmail.com. A lot of fun stuff on the horizon, some cool partnerships with baseball season arriving, as well as some fun content, potentially some new graphics on the way sometime soon. But For Dylan, Nico, Henry, we'll be back later this week. And until the next time, the side is retired.